Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Hyundai, starting with 2022, the Tucson and Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EV, not EV, EV. You can choose electric when you want or gas when you need it. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesarino back here with some special coverage this week. I am very excited to catch up with a guy who I am a huge fan of his podcast, and he is a big Survivor fan here to talk with us about everything going on in season 41 of Survivor. Of course, many fans know him from his work on the Hollywood Handbook podcast. He just wrapped up season 3 of the Hollywood Masterclass, and of course that he also is a TV writer, producer on Kevin Can F Himself. Please welcome back Sean Clements. Sean, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. Thanks so much for having me back.
Sean, I was really looking forward to this. So excited. Of course, Stephen Fishback name dropped you just a couple of weeks ago on the Survivor Know-It-Alls.
That was huge to be mentioned on Know-It-Alls and not even by the guy who's done my podcast twice.
Yes.
That was great. And that he was saying he enjoyed your episode, which like felt like a big compliment to me. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that was really exciting. And I
guess he had been a long time listener.
Proud to say I crept into the DMs after. Oh. He said that he listened.
Yes.
Since Cochran was on a long time ago.
Yes.
Which is very nice, 'cause that was way back. So, yeah. Really appreciate him listening and shouting out the show. And to hear it live, to get mentioned, to not know it was coming, mm-hmm. to just be listening to my Know-It-Alls by tradition the day after the Survivor airs and hear my name, come
That's
out.
That's how
his
you
mouth
know you made it, where you're listening to a podcast and you don't even realize, and then they're talking about you.
Nobody gave me a heads up. There was nothing. It was just like my own experience mm-hmm. of this thing I already like. Yeah. And here's my name. So it felt really good. So thank you for that. And to Steven, hey, man.
Yeah.
Got to get you on Handbook.
Okay. Maybe he was playing the long game.
He could try out on the pro version like you did. There's a process everybody goes through. You're behind the paywall first, and then you got to earn your stripes.
That's right. So if anybody is new to Hollywood Handbook, of course, I would say that, tell me if this is fair or not. It's a podcast that—
Please, I'm sure it is.
You listen to about 15 or 20 episodes, and then you get it. Right.
Yeah. That's what we've been told, is that it, you do not like it when you listen to it. And it takes about, after about 15 that you, for some reason, mm-hmm. subject yourself to.
Yeah.
Then you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Was that your experience?
So at first I didn't get it. Again, I don't know if this is like kayfabe or anything, but like, am I allowed to say that? Like, so that on the podcast, that your views are not necessarily your real views. You're playing a bit of a character. Is that fair to say, or is that sort of like destroy the whole illusion?
That's absolutely what's going on. Please make it clear that we have characters on the show.
Yeah.
We're not that stupid, but we do like to play into being like just kind of vain idiots.
I love it so much because it's so fun, because sometimes on these podcasts, like sometimes I'm playing around and I'm not necessarily like saying like what I really think about something, and like I don't have that freedom on RHAP to really like if I'm talking about like I made like a disgusting sandwich the other day, then people like are like, oh my god, why would you do that? That was like I was joking. Like I didn't really do that.
Yeah. I've caught, I listen to the podcast a lot. Sometimes you will be being sarcastic and saying the opposite of what you think about mm-hmm. it, where you go like, that was the one part of this advantage they didn't figure out. Mm-hmm. I think was when, Steven was talking about how the merge feast should have been somehow regurgitated for the other half of the tribe. And you were like, yeah, that's the one thing they didn't think about. And I think it took him a second.
Mm-hmm. Wait, no, really? No.
Yeah. But I feel like I do catch that sometimes where when you are talking to a guest, you'll shift into that mode and people don't catch that you're joking. Yeah.
And what's so fun about your podcasting that, you know, you and Hayes, you know, you throw something out there and then, you know, it's just, okay, now we're going with it. Just like the stuff that you guys come up with, opening all the shows, is so fun.
It's hit or miss. So and here's a little more behind the curtain. Not that anyone cares, but we opened the show with one of us finishing some anecdote to the other one over the music, and then we bring in the guests. It's pretty short. It's usually like 2 minutes. But it's become more and more that it's just a game of like, how long can you wait? And then right before the show starts going like, hey, do you have something for over the song to just put it completely on the other person, especially if we have a guest that we are nervous around or anything, or who we don't think is going to get the tone of the show necessarily, to just force the other person in the position of opening the show with a fake story that's absurd and being the stupid person first. And he's stuck me a couple times.
And the guest is like am I supposed to talk now? Am I allowed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not a comfortable experience to be a guest. You can speak to that.
And I'll get to Survivor in a moment. I promise. But one of my favorite recent ones was that you were talking about how you were trolling on some Parks and Recreation, maybe the Parks and Rec subreddit, about something about Ron Swanson. And that's just and the FBI had to come in because you were doing such a good job trolling on
that I got like swatted or something because we had, I think like,
maybe Joe Biden might have also had to come in also to ask you to tone it down with the trolling about something about Ron Swanson.
I wish I don't remember it, Rob, but that sounds like it could have been pretty funny. I just forget that show as soon as we do it.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I want to, get your take on Survivor 41. And you and I have been emailing a little bit throughout the season. So I know a little bit of how you're feeling about the season. But what about for the people listening? How are you feeling Survivor 41?
Look, overall, it's pretty exciting for me, for people who didn't hear the last time I was on. How dare you go back and listen. But I listened to our
to that one in the show notes. And then you could pause this episode and go back so you don't get spoiled on the last podcast.
I've probably watched 35 seasons in the past few months. Like I've been watching through some of them I'd seen before, some of them I hadn't because I had like blind spots, but this is the first time in a while that I'm like watching the show live every week. And not only that, I had discovered your podcast in the, in the interim. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm like, I get to listen to Know It Alls immediately afterwards and then the exit interview. And so it's been like a fun experience. I feel like really engaged. And my wife is watching with me and she was like not super into Survivor, but we watch it live like on Wednesday night. So it really feels like it's Survivor night. It's a family event. Then I listen to my podcast. So I'm like feeling great about being involved. But it also, when they do mess up, which I think we can all agree last week they did, I don't know what to tell my wife when she turns to me. She goes, you said they have a tribal every week and someone goes home. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know why this is a two-parter with this.
You're responsible.
Yeah. Now it's on me that the show gave us an unsatisfying episode. And I have to somehow answer for it. So I feel the misses even more, but the wins also are big wins. So my one little joke about the season is Jeff keeps saying, drop the four, keep the one.
Yeah.
I'm saying for some of this stuff, drop the one, keep the four and add the words, who is it in front? Because some of these twists, I go, who is this for? Who is it for? Like, why are we reversing time? I got a real kind of kick out of listening to you and Steven talking about the knowledge is power advantage, and that he was, and I understand why, but he was so obsessed with the like you cannot lie aspect of it, which like, yes, that's part of Survivor is that you could lie, but also it's just the way it's written. It's a fully unnecessary middle step of what the advantage is. The advantage is I point at you and say, I want your idol. And if you have it, you give it to me. But it's just like the way they have it set up is like, I can ask you, do you have an idol? Like they really wanted to feel as much like Go Fish as possible. But yeah, it's like the lying part of it isn't even really part of it. It's just, you get to steal, which you know, I think I said last time, like part of what I love about Survivor is putting myself in the shoes of the players and going, like, what would I do or how would I feel? And I think the idol nullifier is right at the edge of like the most frustrating thing I think I could deal with in the game.
Yeah.
Because there's still like an artfulness to like, you have to know who the idol's being played for and write down their name and put it in before. And you could, you know, there's a way that it could blow up on you. Obviously we saw that the knowledge is power thing did blow up on Liana, but it did feel like I just watched when they described what that was. I thought, man, if that happened to me and I was playing the game, I would be so mad.
Yeah.
Like if you're really the reason the idol exists, right, is like if you're a total underdog back against the wall, it's to like thwart the kind of pogongings that made the show a little boring in some seasons. Like that's why it was even invented. Right. So then to then take that, I've got this one tool, even if I'm totally on an island by myself, if I could time it right, I can like mix up the game and hopefully survive for another day. And then it's just like, oh, but then somebody in the power, like majority alliance can just point at me and go, that's mine and take it away. That sucks.
Yeah.
Like that would fully suck. And I felt the same way about this turn back time thing where I was like, if that happened to me that I like won an immunity challenge and was immune and we had played it and I won and then they reversed it, and I was on the island, I'd be like, what the hell? This is like,
no,
I would feel like,
no, no, you can't. Like that's not a no.
And I get it. Like the rules move around. I honestly, I'm like, I'm a Deshaun stan. I love Deshaun. He's, I think my favorite on this season. And the way he reacted was so good, where Jeff threw to him in the moment was like, what do you think about this, Deshaun? And he very diplomatic. It was like, you know, it's not what I'm used to in terms of what the game is supposed to be, where it's like, he's so mad, but he's going like, it's certainly not what I would have done if I was a producer on the show, but hey, I'm going to roll with it. And then as Danny's talking about it and he's going like, this isn't how a game's supposed to work. And Deshaun's going like, hey, calm down. We got to move on. We got to move on. But I also know I could feel what he was feeling a little bit. Like sometimes I've worked at a job where I'm writing for a show and the show is bad. And I sort of know it's bad. And someone who I work with will start talking about how the show is bad. And I'll be like, hey, man, we can't talk about this. Like, I'm going to spin out. If we start talking about this at all, I'm not even going to be able to show up to work. So like, we just gotta focus on like what we can do and like what's right in front of us. And I do feel like he was just going like, if I get mad with Danny right now, I'm going to be so mad that like, we can't deal with competing in the immunity challenge. We can't strategize. I'm just going to be like, why did this show screw us so hard? So yeah, I don't know. Also the mechanics of that challenge, the hourglass.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? He's like, all the sand is at the bottom of this hourglass.
Yeah.
That's the time that's passed.
Yeah.
You can reverse the time by smashing the hourglass open. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, the primary trait of an hourglass is that you can flip it over. Like, I get that it's less dramatic, but just the way it's set up to me was very funny, where it's like if he went like, this car has been driving forward in drive the whole time you've been on the island. If you want, you can reverse the trajectory of the car by shooting it with a gun. Well, Jeff, there's a gear called reverse. Like we can, it's like, no, this is for TV.
You know, the part of it that annoyed me about this was at the end that I was talking about this on the show with Puya the other day, that there's a question of that Erica wants to know, when do I have to do this by?
How much time do I have to think about this?
Tomorrow morning before you leave the beach, you got to make your decision.
Yeah, no, you had a timer. You have a timer right there.
you're right. He should have flipped it over and been like, before the sand gets to the bottom.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
I use these in my house all the time, these timers. I got to tell you, Rob.
What do you use them for?
I got a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
And so like, if it's like, okay, we're going to have to get ready for school in like 5 minutes, like we can keep watching whatever this like mm-hmm. YouTube, you know, song or whatever.
Yeah.
So I put a timer out and I go, hey, when the sand gets to the bottom, that means like, we got to go and get change and get dressed and like get our snack and get out of here. And I got to tell you, a lot of times when it gets to the bottom, he sees it, just flips it right over and goes like, no, it's still going. So I know that it would work.
He hacked it.
I know that it would work to flip the hourglass over. The sand will keep running through it. So I think that was a bit of a miss on their part, but hey, overall, I am enjoying it. I think the cast is really good.
Yeah.
Which usually just makes for a good season. And then some of those twists, they just, again, just putting myself in the shoes of the people on the island, I go, I would be really frustrated. And again, Deshaun, and you guys talked about this on Know It Alls, but he was like, I wish the game was set up in a way that would reward my social abilities a little more. And it's like, yeah, that's super fair. I'm sure he was feeling like, God, if I had played 10 seasons ago, I'd be in a way better spot. Mm-hmm. That's most of what I'm feeling about the like very kind of recent stuff that, cause if you extend it, like what's, you know, if there was just like, you win the individual immunity necklace and then somebody gets like the jewel thief advantage and they could, the cat burglar.
Yeah.
And
I think like, I saw on Twitter, the Reichenbach advantage of basically you could just steal somebody else's necklace.
Yeah. That's like, I don't know. Then what am I watching when I watch the challenge?
Mm-hmm.
What am I watching? I don't know. I feel that way. I'm like more of like a let's set the rules ahead of time person too.
Yeah.
I think you ever play a card game?
Yeah.
And like they forget to deal someone in. They're like, we'll just peel off their hand off the top of the deck.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I guess they're all random cards.
Mm-hmm.
But also like we do it this way for a reason. Let's just all do it the way we agreed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'll often be like, well, we could also throw the cards all around the room. That'd be a game too. That's a game, right? I just throw the cards at the wall.
Sean, I wanted to ask you, as somebody who's been in a lot of writers' rooms, that I'm wondering that do you feel like that is Survivor set up like a writers' room? And do you feel like that when they came back after this break, like everybody had like a million ideas and they sat around and sort of like oh yes, 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 and then they just like they couldn't cut down like the ideas they wanted to go with like to fit all into one season.
Right. Yeah. I guess. I don't know what the process is behind it. I've been led to believe that there's a whiteboard in Jeff's garage.
Yeah.
Where he lays it all out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he calls Mike White.
Mm-hmm.
And then he either gets a thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, he can go back to the whiteboard. But yeah, it does feel a little bit that way. Like they forgot what Faulkner said about killing your darlings, Rob. Sometimes there's an idea you love that's so good, but it just doesn't fit with everything else that you have so far.
Yeah.
And maybe we can sit on it. I mean, I really thought the knowledge is power advantage was going to suck. Like I was going to be mad when it got used. And I was thinking at the time, I guess if people knew about it, there could be a cool like shell game thing where you don't know who has the idol or advantage. And that could be interesting, but like that probably won't happen I was kind of thinking like maybe the third time this advantage exists, they'll have figured out how to nullify it by doing this other thing. But no, it all came out right away because Chan had spilled the beans so quickly, which was, I think, was very good for the viewers. If that hadn't happened, I think, and the advantage had worked like as planned, I would have been like, this sucks. But yeah, it, and that seemed like, I mean, and Liana, like, not realizing that it, I mean, they certainly in the edit made it feel like Xander laid it on really thick, about the, like, and I'll have it the whole time, just me. And her not realizing it felt a little bit like she and Shan both, they look hungry. Like, that's another, like, who is this for? Like, why? I don't know. I know some diehards like really care about the survival aspect and want them to be suffering.
Yeah.
Like I do not want the players to have long-term physical repercussions of playing. I don't mind if it's hard to be there and it's like cold and rainy and there's no shelter. And if they're just eating rice, and, you know, but like, so like for them to not have any rice and not have any flint, like, I don't know who gets more enjoyment from this. I don't get that.
I think that they're so worried about somebody coming along and saying like 26 days. What is this, diet survivor? Like, no, no, you don't even know how hard it is that we took everything away. This is the hardest survivor ever.
Yeah.
I think they just like wanted, like really, nobody cares about 26 days.
Yeah, and they make them talk about it. Like, they make them say, like, and I really do, that's why I really do think this is the hardest season ever. It's funny because you found this in the rewatch, and obviously I noticed too, when you binge these things, you find these themes of, like, being a millennial. The thing about being as a millennial, this is what an idol means to me. And for this season, obviously, it's like, there's a couple of those talking points that are just hit over, and it's got to be about how hard it is and how this is one of the hardest seasons ever. And then like, and it's season 41 now. So like, it's brand new. Like the number of times they say it's season 41, they said it like three or four times in the episode last night.
Yeah.
That's unusual.
Yeah. And it's a new era.
And it's a new era. But yeah, I don't know. I think like, you're probably right. They were afraid that everyone say like, oh, the show's gone soft, but they've been saying that. They're like, the show's just well-fed challenge beasts. It's like,
I mean, can you tell that it's day 14 versus like when it'll be a normal merge, day 19, day 20?
Can I?
Yeah. Does it feel any different than a regular merge in a regular season?
No, it doesn't feel different to me. Yeah. I mean, it's just, they're at the merge and it seems like, I mean, I guess it's wearing them down more that they didn't have the flint and they didn't have the food. But I just like, I don't know. Again, I'm putting myself in the shoes of the people and I'm just like, I don't want to like, you know, everybody comes back and they're like sick or whatever. That sucks.
Yeah.
Cause only one person's going to win.
That's unless they change it. I mean, what if somebody wins and then somebody else had the like steal the million advantage?
Oh,
could you imagine? I mean, that would be like the most shocking moment in reality TV history. You can steal the million from one person.
Yeah. So you, what if it's at the vote reading, at the live reunion, okay? And you can choose to change your name to the other person's name and switch names for the votes if you think they got more votes than you in the game.
Yeah, but you have to guess it right. Cool. You have to guess it right.
Yeah, because what if you got more votes? Or what if people knew that you had that advantage? Okay.
So you have to play it in the final three? You have to be in the final three to play it, or you have to play it from the jury.
In the final three. Yeah. Oh, God, if you play it from the jury... That's a different thing. So then if you're from the jury, you have to play it on the right person. And that right person means also knowing whether that person has been switched with one of the other three.
Wow. What an exciting advantage that would be in the finale where somebody has the, you know, steal the million advantage. And
this keeps me watching right to the end.
You might turn it off. Like, I know who's got this.
Well, I think I know who got the most votes, but then I don't know if they're going to get switched with someone else who got fewer votes. And I don't know if someone from the jury is going to switch with them.
Mm-hmm.
That could be an interesting game. And that's really where we're headed. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I get it. Like, I love the show, and I don't love that a lot of the conversation around it becomes just complaining about what doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Although it is kind of fun to do, but I do think, I never minded that there were like more idols and stuff. I think it can make for some exciting moments and, mm-hmm. And that it can be a good spoiler in spots and it's still, there's strategy involved in like when to play and whether to play and who to play it on. That kind of stuff is good. But some of these are just, they're just like, oh, what you were watching before, like, doesn't matter anymore.
Sean, were you disappointed to see Sydney out of the game?
Yeah. I mean, she wasn't like my pick to win it or anything, but she gave a lot of sound bites. I mean, the real disappointment for me is that when she and Tiffany had gone on that like nighttime excursion together, and there was a lot of friction between them, and they showed them both being like, I don't like this other person, I thought, oh, well, this will pay off mm-hmm. in some big way. Mm-hmm. Like, they wouldn't have this in the edit. These two talking heads of someone just going like, I don't like this other person on the show. And they both make the merge and you go, oh, they're going to go to war somehow or mm-hmm. be trying to get one another out. And they actually work together on the first vote, and then Sydney goes home. It feels like, you know, it's like the Chekhov's gun didn't get fired. Mm-hmm. Like, they just sort of like set up what could be a nice dramatic thing that never paid off. I wanted to see that battle happen.
Sydney said they got along great.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Then I wonder why she said they didn't.
I don't know. I think maybe
producer tampering.
Maybe Tiffany didn't love Sydney. Maybe and Sydney was a little bit more indifferent.
It was more Tiffany saying she got a bad vibe, I guess. But yeah, it's, you know, they worked together, and I did think, I guess I wasn't too disappointed because I was worried for Deshaun for a lot of the episode. And I didn't want Deshaun to leave. So in a way it was like, you know, hey, I wish they all could win the $1 million, mm-hmm. Rob.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this new twist, maybe they can.
They're in my living room with me. These people are my friends, you know? So of course I wish that could happen. So I'm never happy to see anyone go, but I was relieved that it wasn't Deshaun this time.
Mm-hmm. I had been thinking about how you might do on Survivor as somebody who has to do a lot of improv when they had to work these phrases into conversation. Did you find yourself as saying how you would work these different phrases into this mat chat?
Gosh, you know... I'll be honest, I didn't think about it at the time. I was like, surely they don't have to do it every time. Mm-hmm. Like, if you do it once, then you've done it, right? But then they did have to do it multiple times. And it's so strange. Again, maybe it's good because of how things played out, or I guess that's results oriented. But I was like, is it part of getting an idol that it's a secret and that you...
Not anymore.
Get to tell people, like, you get to use it as a way to earn trust, to tell people that you have it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that everyone on the island, like, knows where the three idols are because mm-hmm. of these insane phrases you have to say, which frankly, I think I probably would have ended up telling someone, I have to say this phrase. And being like, I want as many people to know as possible, because otherwise I'm just saying this phrase. Mm-hmm. And that's more damaging to my game than people knowing that I don't have my vote or that I have an idol. Like, I think I would be ashamed. But yeah, maybe with all of my improv training, I would have been able to casually work it in. Some were better than others. I think that, like, confused as a goat on AstroTurf felt like a dumb folksy, like I'd go like, maybe it's regional. The butterflies one, I would have hated to have that one.
Yeah.
To bring it up multiple times.
Yeah.
Not good. I mean, Jeff set him up a little bit too, but I don't know how I would have worked that one in. And then the broccoli small trees feels like, who wrote these for them? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean that they must've had like a whiteboard full of phrases that they could have gone with.
I will rank them in order of the worst one to have is broccoli and small trees.
Yes.
Although a biggest payoff because Brad butchered it.
Yeah.
When Brad was unable to remember. That was pretty juicy. Mm-hmm. Then butterflies and then goat on AstroTurf. I'm sort of okay with I'd be like, oh, people think I'm trying to make a joke. It's probably not any worse than other things they've heard me say.
Mm-hmm. Really? I mean, what they should have done is mix them up. Like, what if you had to say, I hadn't really thought of it right now, but a donkey looks like a little tree.
That's interesting. So you have to, so some elements of it remain.
Yeah.
It's other things have to be small trees. Then it's new things are dead relatives saying, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. If you mix them all, maybe that'll be for season 42 because they would not have mm-hmm. already seen season 42.
Broccoli is dead relatives saying hi to me.
Really? That's interesting, yeah. Sean. I never thought of that.
I'm more confused than a goat on a butterfly. And we just sort of, we can interpolate. But yeah, I thought I wouldn't have wanted to do it. And I didn't love the idea of everyone knowing where the idols were. I just thought, it's one thing that you lose your advantage, like you lose your vote until it gets activated.
Yeah.
That's very risky. So then the payoff of having an active idol after you've had to survive multiple tribals without a vote, I think should be a little better than having an idol that everyone is aware of and like trying to flush or steal or whatever. Mm-hmm.
And then also an advantage that if somebody knows that you have an idol, they could take it from you.
In
the same season.
Yes. Yeah. That kind of sucks because it's like for that advantage to exist in a season where you don't really know who has the idols and there's rumors swirling around. Gosh, that's kind of interesting. Like to go like, it's so risky for me to do this, but she's like, okay, do I want Xander's or Nasir's is like the first thing she says. And it's like, well, this sucks for them. But I do think, I did want to, after listening to know-it-alls, and you guys touched on this a little bit, there was some speculation that Xander talking to Danny about how he was going to play the idol was part of the heist.
Yeah.
But in that case, why would Xander ever say to Danny that he knows about the knowledge is power advantage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't think it was. Steven said, like, oh, no, that was definitely part of the heist. I still was on the fence about that.
God, I hate to clown on Steven, one of my heroes, who just shouted out my show. But I don't think it makes sense. Like, because I saw him talking, I was like, oh, maybe he's playing him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was like, and she's got a thing where you can steal your advantage. I was like, you don't want him to know that you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Danny goes to her, I'm like, well, now she knows that Xander, so it felt like that would have blown the game, but you know, it all played out okay anyway.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen next?
What I think is it's going to be dependent on how much pull Liana has, because I think she will be gunning for Evie. That exchange between them where Evie's like, thanks, she's been saying she's with me all day, and Liana's like, and we're all playing hard, so I hope you respect it, but just kind of go like, I know that you are mad at me and you have every right to be. I think she will and probably should be fixated on getting Evie out first, and she kind of got put in a bad position by her alliance with them forcing her to gun for her previous number one in a really showy way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I was her, I'd be like, you guys kind of owe me now to like, let's finish the you know, let's close the deal on this, because otherwise, like, I have burned someone and like made a mortal enemy, and we're just keeping them in the game now to go for like Erica or someone who's easier to make a case against. It's like, I don't want to do that. I think we need to do this. So that's what I think will be her main drive. And I think that probably she and Shan will be pushing that together. And then it'll just be how much like Danny, Deshaun, and the rest of that group listen.
Yeah. It really comes down to like, how much will the rest of the group want to stick together against, like, cause it's like an easy, like pile on where if you have the three people from Yasa, there's only three of them. You could split this eight other people that aren't with them. You could even split the vote. Even if Xander played his extra vote, that's four. It could be like a 4-4, four with Xander playing his extra vote. Even if Xander played the idol and split the votes between Xander and Evie, you could. But what I'm really watching is like the people that are at the bottom of that group, like the Ricard and Erica and Heather and Nasir. Like, what do they want to do? Like, they could really, they could switch and go the other way.
Ricard, I'm really interested in, especially because, you know, so much of the show to this point was really kind of told from Shan's perspective, because they were on that tribe that was always going to tribal. And she's just so charismatic and like had, you know, everyone kind of trusted her and was in this good spot. And I feel like, you know, even the takeaway, I think for some people when, Shan was asking for her extra vote back and Ricard was going like, then you have no reason to keep me like this. Why don't you just let me hold it tonight? A lot of people were like, Ricard's got to give it to Shan, because we're just being presented as like, it's Shan's game, help her win. Mm-hmm. But I was like, no, he's like, I'm with him. We're not getting his read on stuff or not. And maybe, you know, maybe his confessionals aren't as engaging, so we're not always getting like his take. But I was like, yeah, that sucks to ask for it back and to be doing, having the same conversation that you had with JD before you voted him out at Ricard's suggestion. Like, yeah, let him hold it this time. I did think him doubling down the next day was just like not to his advantage in any way, but I think he's a smart player. I like, but I think he might have the wherewithal to do what you're saying of like going and collecting Heather and Erica and unifying with Yasa, and that could be cool.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if like if that's the move, because I mean, if there is that four of Danny and Deshaun and Liana and Shan, is it a known four? Do people know what's there? You know, how much is Nasir feeling like that? You know, he is with Danny and Deshaun. So I think it's going to be interesting. And also, how much is the issue still going on with Ricard and Shan? Does Ricard hold any animosity towards Shan where it's like, yeah, I'd like to actually burn Shan and I'm going to try to go with these other people to go against her group?
I wonder how that relationship will hold up, because I think he feels like he got ditched immediately. Mm-hmm. And I do think like, and here was another thing I loved that Deshaun did when he mentioned at tribal, like he kind of called out Evie on like, you told me about Xander's idol and that, you know, you guys were going to blindside him, a week ago. The way he did it too was like, it felt like, I hope I survive this tribal. I can't save myself with this information right now. Like, I can't create enough of a rift here in this moment. So he didn't sell past the close. Like, he didn't like try to bully Xander, like, and she was trying to betray you, so you should vote with us. He just went like, this is interesting because this happened, and just planted the seed. And I do wonder, because Xander was sharing all that information with Danny, and they did have a conversation, I think, in the prior episode where he was like, hey, us big guys got to stick together.
Yeah, and they went to the Shipwheel Island together in the first episode.
And I wonder maybe if there's a little bond there and if there'd be a fracture between he and Evie, even though they like made it through that. Mm-hmm. Tribal council, because she was lying and she was laying it on pretty thick, and Deshaun called her out. So I'll be curious to see if that like bears any fruit too.
Is Deshaun your winner pick? Do you do a winner pick? Yeah, because they're all your friends and you feel like that would be
I hate to choose when all my friends are on screen. Rob.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, Heather's under the radar right now.
So under the radar.
I don't think a lot of people. Yeah.
Right where you want to be.
I could get great odds. God. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I will. It's tough to pick someone for your winner who received a bunch of votes last tribal and is already being targeted, but I'm going to say yes. I'm going to go with Deshaun. I think he's good. And I haven't seen him make a big error yet that I can recall.
Can I give you a wild theory that I've seen?
Yeah.
So you know how Heather has been a little under the radar, a little bit, you know, more seen than heard, you know, and sometimes not even seen. That this season, there have been so many big reveals, flashback to actually this happened, actually this happened. There are some people who think Heather is going to get to the end and win the game. And in the finale, there will be this big reveal a la huge like a montage. Kaiser Sose. Like this is actually what Heather was doing the whole season.
Gosh, that would be interesting. Yeah, I need a minute with this.
Imagine that.
That knocked me out of my chair, man.
Yeah, then you can turn to your wife and say, you see, this is why we watch this.
I do love how they've been doing the flashback timeline stuff. It makes you wonder why they didn't do more of it earlier, especially like just Nasir having the idol in the third phrase. Like when you heard that third phrase, I was really genuinely surprised and was like, oh, I'm so glad they did it this way. It was a really thrilling moment rather than, and then when they flash back, they did show you all of like him finding it and telling the story about his daughter hiding in his yard. All that stuff was really good, but it was the way they messed with the timeline was pretty satisfying. They kind of smashed the hourglass on me and I liked it.
Well, Sean, if you liked having the hourglass smashed on you, if you like surprising, shocking moments, stay tuned because we have a big surprise for you coming up. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have a guest who's going to join us right after this. We'll be right back with Sean Clements and a special surprise visitor for Sean. But first, we're going to take a moment to thank a sponsor. Those are our friends over at Canva, Canva Pro. And here to join us is the Robinson Podcast social media manager, Hannah Lidsky. Hannah, how are you?
Rob, I'm great. I'm so excited to talk to you about Canva today.
Okay, Hannah, I know that you are a big Canva power user. Is that fair for me to say, power user?
Yeah, I'm the biggest power user in the Canva game.
Yes, okay. Well, as the listeners of Rob's podcast know, making content is an essential part of what I do to keep the show going. But when we want to share it with the audience, that we end up relying a lot on what Hannah does on social media with Canva, and especially, Hannah, I know you're a user of Canva Pro, which you could use on any device. And so how are you using Canva Pro to help with getting the word out about Rob as a podcast?
So any of those clips that you see going up on our Twitter, our Instagram, even some of our TikToks lately, they've all been made using Canva Pro. You can create such pretty graphics, some video design in there, and it makes it so easy to use.
Do you have to be a pro to use Canva Pro?
I mean, I feel like I don't want to sell myself so short here, but I feel like it's pretty easy that anyone can figure it out.
It's a design platform that empowers you to create and share stunning content in just a few clicks. Designing with Canva Pro is amazingly fast and fun. You confirm that? It's very fun.
It's very fun.
Yes. Choose from thousands of templates that are easy to customize or start from scratch. Canva Pro has endless premium fonts, photos, videos, and so much more to add personality and edge dude, to whatever you're designing. Designing together has never been easier. Sharing, editing, and commenting in real time. Canva Pro helps you stay organized on the same page on top of team projects. No more misplaced files or tedious back and forth. Plus, you and four teammates can unlock everything Canva Pro has to offer for just $12.99 a month with Canva Pro's content planner. Save time planning, creating, and posting social media content too. Pause scheduled posts and edit them at any time. Hannah, what's your favorite Canva Pro feature?
Recently, I've been loving their new video editing feature, especially as we've been doing so much with TikTok. I think it's really fun to cut clips in Canva.
Design like a pro with Canva Pro. Right now, you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you use my promo code. Just go to canva.me/robhas to get your free 45-day extended trial. That's Canva, canva.me/robhas. canva.me/robhas. Hannah, great job here today. Can't wait to see what you come up with for this podcast.
Thank you. Now the pressure is on.
And Hannah, thanks for talking to us about Canva.
No problem.
All right, if you're just joining us, we're talking Survivor here with Sean Clements from the Hollywood Handbook podcast, Kevin Kniff himself, many other credits, and we are joined here by a man who is a longtime super fan of the Hollywood Handbook, host of, Sean, listen to this, 4.5 podcasts. Here is Akiva Whitaker.
What I miss, guys? I'm late. I'm sorry.
The coward shows his face. you got a big old bottle of liquid courage in you, Akiva. What are we working with? How'd you manage to show up to this one?
Well, Rob knows my liquid of choice is Coke Zero.
So yeah. I
down a bottle and it makes me brave.
Yeah. So Akiva for years was telling me, look, you got to listen to the Hollywood Handbook and Doughboys. That is where it's at. Those are that's the pinnacle of podcasting.
Do not mention Doughboys in front of me. Those scumbags.
Yeah. And he said, you got to check it out. You got to listen to it. I said, it sounds interesting. Premise sounds promising. Mm-hmm.
But the product itself is completely inaccessible.
Yeah. Well, I'm a busy guy. I told you it takes 10, 15 episodes to get into it. And I just didn't have the commitment then.
Well, I appreciate you trying to get people into it, Akiva. Now, Rob said to me, after we're done talking Survivor stuff, Akiva's going to come on. So are you not into Survivor?
No, I am. I guess Rob just doesn't like my Survivor takes.
I mean,
he's like, all right.
Yeah, would you want to hear some of Akiva's Survivor takes, Sean?
I'll listen to one.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the truth is, like, people right now are listening and they're saying, like, there's not enough Survivor podcasts on Rob's network. Like, they haven't heard enough opinions at this point about the 42. Really,
we haven't heard your opinion.
That's what we're banking on. Yeah.
The whole thing's unfair. You know, I'm a fairness guy. I'm a sports fan. Like, imagine if they're like, nope, the team that won, they're ineligible. Like, the team that lost, they're free next week. Mm-hmm. And, like, the two winning teams are going to have to face off for a spot in the playoffs. That's basically what happened. So,
yeah, that was frustrating. Now, Akiva, do you ever, I hear so much about this wand off. Have you ever submitted to the wand off?
I don't have a great singing voice. I really have no.
Neither do some of the people that submit.
Yeah,
that's true.
Akiva knows a lot about music, though. Akiva listens to every album that comes out, but he doesn't talk about it.
I have a pitch.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have time to record this.
Yes.
But I have a pitch just for a chorus based on last night's episode.
Yes.
Now, Akiva, you get first dibs on this because you're going to hear it before this episode goes up. But anybody who wants to record it, you go ahead. You go for it.
Yeah.
And now I'm not going to commit too hard. I'm going to sing a little bit of it. And maybe that's cringe. Oh. But you know what? If that's cringe, I don't want to be whatever the opposite of cringe is. So this song is called Shot in the Dark, parentheses, Sydney's song.
Sydney's song.
Shot in the dark, but you're not safe. that new twist was a tad lame. Jeff read the votes. It said your name. So we've got something here.
That's pretty good.
I'm not going to do it.
Now, should Akiva, someone re-record it?
Glory? Huh? Yeah.
Should someone re-record it, or are they, you know, should they just use your audio?
Use my vocal.
That together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, if that, whatever's best for the song, I'm about the art. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's for the product. Mm-hmm. Oh, pay me. Oh, whatever. Money. that's not why I do this. That's why I do my four other podcasts. But it's not why I do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Rob, you're trying to impress Sean that I do. I don't really do 4.5, but do you consider, because he calls a Patreon podcast a half a podcast. Like, if, let's say you did the same show one a week for free, and then the other worse one people have to pay for. That's what we do. I don't know if that's what, you know, I don't know if you consider it the worst one, but the.
Okay. Is that what you're saying? What I do?
No, that's what I do. That's, you know, we do a much shorter one and that people pay for.
But that is what we do.
But so now the question is, and Rob too, the question is that one podcast, or you consider that doing two every week or 1.5?
You know, it's interesting. So we do Hollywood Handbook, the main feed. That's free. That's available to download for anyone. We do the pro version, which is behind the paywall. That one is only a half an hour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The main one is an hour.
Mm-hmm.
They really seem to both take me about the same amount of time to record.
Yeah. Hmm.
Like, the commitment is kind of the same regardless. I think that's two podcasts. It's two separate recordings I have to schedule.
Okay. Because Akiva, this came out, Akiva said, well, I have two podcasts. I was like, what are your two podcasts? He's like, well, I have to do my 32 Fans podcast and the Patreon version. Like, that's the same podcast.
Yeah. Well,
you don't have a different podcast with Hayes called the Hollywood Handbook Pro version.
Wait.
Oh, so if we gave it a different name, you're saying, then I would be able to get away with.
What's the difference between the Patreon?
There's really none. Like, some
there's
weeks,
none.
There's like, some weeks. Well, it's actually very inconsistent, because some weeks we will. We mostly talk about football. So some weeks we'll like recap the NFL Sunday night and put that on the Patreon, but then some weeks we'll put it on the main feed. There's really no rhyme to what we do.
Ours arose in part initially because we used to do some like high concept or like thematic segment at the top of our episodes before we had the guest in, where we'd like do these things called teaser freezers, where we watch a movie trailer and we talk about, and it's usually for something that looks stupid, and we talk about how good the trailer is and how it's smart. Very funny. You say the opposite of what you mean. It's no one's done it before. So we would do stuff like that for 20 minutes at the top of the show. And then we would have the guest for like a half an hour. And then, you know, it felt like we're not really utilizing these guests, and we booked them. And so then we started cutting that segment out, but then people missed some of the games and segments we would play. So then we started a separate podcast. Mm-hmm. It was just us without a guest, where it was just the raw, unfiltered, our tone without having to like hold Rob's hand through the entire show or something like that. But that is like why it arose. So I do think the shows are kind of two different things. Mm-hmm. If yours is not, I start to think this is just a bonus episode of the one main show that you do make.
Still separate record. It's still like five.
It's a separate record, but it's the
would
same,
you still
but
count it as half show. A podcast?
I'm now wondering if it's maybe a quarter of a podcast.
One, 4.25 podcasts.
It's about a half hour. I'll What's be your, like, we don't want to give them more than like 30 minutes.
Yeah, deflation. But,
Mm-hmm. What's your big football take this year? Like, what's the latest? Do you have any picks? Do you do picks on there? You pick any games?
We do. Honestly, this is a little embarrassing. So I'm like a diehard Jets fan.
That is embarrassing.
A third generation Jeff and my grandpa, who just gave up his tickets this year, even though he's 92 and he still works, he didn't want to go anymore. So, but we've had the tickets in the family for like 50 something years. And I've missed like many weddings to watch Jet games. Even when I was a kid, I remember like missing my older cousin's wedding.
Yeah.
Like a crazy person when I was 12. Like, mom, you guys go to the wedding. I'm family watch a Jet game. But the Jets are playing right now.
Yeah, we're actually missing a Jet game right now for this podcast. That's in fairness, when I first scheduled this with Sean, I think that Zach Wilson had gotten hurt. I think I might not have even realized that the Jets were playing on a Thursday night. But then once Zach Wilson got hurt, I was like, I'm not even gonna probably watch the game.
Right.
It's gonna be such a disaster. This is a disaster. But now enter Mike White.
Yeah, David and Goliath runner up.
Who, yeah, I know Mike White. Do you think that Mike White knows about the football player Mike White?
I don't know Mike White.
Oh, okay.
I was invited by Cochran to potentially play doubles tennis.
Yes.
With Mike White, and because I guess they play together a lot.
Yes.
And he was like, maybe you could come and join us sometime.
You should wear the Jets Mike White jersey.
Wow. Would that impress him?
Mike White gives off the impression of someone who doesn't follow sports at all.
He might have no idea that there is a quarterback with his same name. I'm sure he's getting
probably some
getting some tweets or something. Yeah. About, yeah.
It's probably his Google mentions are probably there, just completely thrown off now.
That's a tough morning to go through and go, ooh.
Like, well, I guess
Google mentions
must be Netflix. David versus Goliath.
People must be watching Brad's status. And then you go through and you realize, like, no. It's that this Jets quarterback has done well.
Yeah, why the NFL Canton Hall of Fame? What is this?
So, you know, but I am sorry to make you guys miss, and you can. You know, you could ditch out anytime you want. I'm going to stay and finish the show.
I paused the game. I figured it would be, you know, I could always watch the game later. The Jets are, you know, they do have two wins. They're bad.
You paused it. So you don't want to know the huge thing that just happened in the game.
No, no spoilers. Mm-hmm. No spoilers for sure.
Yeah. I'm going to jump in live after.
I was thinking, like, if the Jets were 4-3, I definitely would have had to say no. Mm-hmm. I would have felt bad. But like, I'm so used to them being terrible that I can sort of schedule things. But I will lose, like, even admitting that is a mistake, because I'm going to get like roasted in all like the football group chats and stuff.
Yeah, but what about your Hollywood Handbook chats? They're going to be like saying, like, you're an OG, you're the king, Akiva.
I don't think so. Sean, Rob and I have a show where every week we do something different. We spin a wheel of listener submitted ideas,
but we still call it the same podcast every week.
Robin and Akiva need a podcast.
Yeah, every time it's a different episode, but we still say it's the same podcast.
So one of the episodes that we did, and if you have any ideas, we're all ears. We're on 155. We're running out, Sean.
Okay.
But if one of the ideas we did was we had like a tournament, and this is very, in hindsight, this is like, was very like egotistical of us, but we had a tournament like to find our biggest fans. We did it for me, and then a year later we did it for Rob, and like people submitted, and like we went through, you know, Google forms of submissions to find our like biggest stan, quote unquote.
Stans find you.
Yeah,
that's part of what makes them.
They were competing. But one thing I found, hopefully this won't happen with me and Sean, because it's the first time we're interacting. Is I think the more my original OG biggest fan, you know, if you will, I think she came to my parents' house. We watched football together with a bunch of other people. I don't even think she knows who I am anymore. Like, she met me. It's like, all right, that's fine. Now I'm over him. And I think with the guy who won our contest, also Jacob, I think he's over me. I think like once he won it, it's like, all right, it's not so exciting anymore.
Okay. Oh yeah. So yeah, meet your heroes. Yeah. The bloom is off.
Are you saying that that's likely to happen now with Sean? Now that you've met him, that you're going to move on to somebody else.
But I also like, there's some real crazies. Like, I don't have any fans, but like, you know, Sean, like you could go on, someone will post like on the Earwolf Reddit. It would be like, what's that time Sean like made a funny noise? And within like 30 seconds, somebody like, oh, it's like episode 42, minute 22, you know, 17 seconds in. there's some real like hardcore people out there.
There's some people who they like the show a lot. It's not on me to say whether or not it's unwell. This is not my place. I'm not here to judge.
Yeah.
You know, whether this is a diagnosable condition to be that knowledgeable of the podcast. What I do is I appreciate the fans and listeners all equally.
Yeah.
And I'm their real friend and I love them.
John had a funny tweet once, Rob.
Yes.
I bet he
probably had a funny tweet once. A bunch of times.
Probably. But no, it just made me, I think the tweet was like, your wife said to you, you know, Sean, I'm your biggest fan. And then you responded, psh, not even close.
That's a true thing that happened.
It was probably funnier reading it, but
Yeah, who knows? I mean, yeah, removed from the context of knowing me.
Yeah.
But yeah, that she said something where she was like, do you some reference to being my biggest fan? And I was like, are you kidding? Not even you don't like my stuff at all.
Right.
Like,
right.
She doesn't listen to my show.
No.
Rob, does your wife listen to your shows?
No. My wife's not in the top 10,000 fans.
Look at him flexing that he has over 10,000 fans.
I mean, look, that you don't think 10,000 people listen to an episode of the podcast? Because I know somebody that doesn't.
I think they do. I mean, probably when we're talking Survivor. I don't know about when we're picking my biggest fan. Mm-hmm. There's 10,000 people listening. But yeah, we actually had Rob's wife in studio for our podcast this week. It did not go well. She immediately checked out. It was a disaster. We really had to abort mission very quickly.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to someone my wife was talking to me about, occasionally I'll tell like little parenting stories and stuff on my podcast. And she was like, you should do a podcast where you like, even if it's just like a limited series where you talk about parenting or your kids. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I could be fun. Maybe I'd get another podcaster with, you know, like maybe it'd be a fun thing to do or try out. And I was like, I just don't really want to take on another show right now. Like it's already so hard to schedule the records. She was like, yeah, but it'd be great. I mean, I would listen to that one.
That was
the big compliment of like, if you did this, you would actually get me to listen to one of your shows.
Sean, I know you said your wife is into Survivor. Would she ever listen to a Survivor podcast? No.
She has not been into it traditionally. Her thing was, because we watched the challenge together.
Yes.
And I was like, now I'm getting more into Survivor. And she was kind of like, the challenges are corny.
On Survivor.
That was an issue that she had.
There's no hall brawl.
Yeah. I guess that was part of it. And I get what she means, but it doesn't bother me. And as we've been watching it, like she hasn't made that observation again. Like, but I think in her mind, she was just like, I don't know. They're like spinning a stick or something. It's just not that exciting to me.
If you're going from the challenge to Survivor, then it's like watching high school football after watching the NFL. Like it just, the athleticism is much less. It's, you know, they're much less exciting.
But I like that so about much money Survivor. Yeah, they do. And they're like all Mad Max-y. And honestly, they take up such a huge portion of the show now.
Yes.
That there's less strategizing. I've come to prefer Survivor. And also it's just like, I've said this, but I watch the challenge and I go like, well, I can't even like imagine playing this game ever because I would just immediately be murdered. Mm-hmm. But I watch Survivor and, you know, Rob actually told me that he was thinking about how I might do on the show. Rob, do you think I should try to play Survivor?
I think you would do well.
It's all I've ever wanted to hear. You know,
I mean, is that an elliptical or is that a
treadmill? I've got an elliptical behind me. Yeah. I don't mean to.
Yeah. Well, you told me once that you watch Survivor on the elliptical and then when they're doing the challenges, like you go faster on the elliptical to keep up with,
they do a challenge.
Yeah.
I do a challenge.
Yeah.
That's he does have phone number. I feel like Cochran knows some people who could probably get you right in there.
Mm-hmm.
I might be able to cut through some of the red tape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I've got conditions. You got to bring the food back. I need. I'm fine with eating rice. We're going to have rice.
Yeah.
None of this. Nobody can steal my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I win a challenge. The challenge is won. That's it.
Uh-huh. I think they'll agree with that.
You hear me, Probst?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder if they're going to walk that back. I had seen another exit interview with Sydney where Sydney had talked about how that, I guess, Danny was like really hot about the reversal of the call to have them not be safe anymore. And he really like had it out at Tribal Council. And Jeff said, OK, well, like we'll have to like let's talk about how we can like fix that better for future seasons. And Sydney was like, well, I don't care what you're doing for future seasons. I only care about this one.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. That's not, yeah, I'm not here with my one shot to play this game for many people, lifelong dream. Mm-hmm. I don't view this stuff as me workshopping yeah. how the show might work better in the future. I actually am here just to, you know, optimize this one season in my mm-hmm. experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to hear, I think, especially if you're about to get voted out. Geez, I mean, we get, you know what? You're right. We got to fix that sometime yeah. down the line. And it's like, well, we're all here right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do we have that hourglass?
I've got a little time. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got the hourglass. I've got some tape.
Can we go back? Yeah.
So yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I'm sure, Danny was mm-hmm. very frustrated and I would be too, but
yeah.
You know, this is the game now. They just can do whatever.
Yeah.
How much do you think it's Jeff's boredom? How much do you guys think it's just like Jeff's, he's living there now, you know, 3.5 months and he's
What's boredom? He didn't do the show for 2 years. Like, if anything, he was bored when they weren't doing the show and they thought of too mm-hmm. many ideas.
I think he's self-conscious about the shortened time. I think Rob's right about that. But for me, as someone who hasn't watched live and has never watched live and like also like gotten to like listen to, you know, expert analysis afterwards and stuff, I was like, I wish it was a little more like a normal season of the show. Mm-hmm. I wish they didn't change so much at mm-hmm. once. Mm-hmm. But, you know, whatever. They know, but they know what they're doing better than me. I think Jeff probably is like wants to mix it up, fresh legs, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you do 4.5 podcasts. You ever get out there 4.25? You ever get out there, Akiva, and you go, man, I'm just gonna try something new today.
Yep. Like, well, this time I'm gonna be funny or something, and we'll see how yeah. it goes.
Whole new persona on mic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will mix things up, and like Rob and I said we've done like 155 of those, and you know, we're trying to do new things. And you also, like your show, I don't know how many hundreds of episodes you've done, but it's much different. Like the whole show yeah. is much different than when you started. And I'm sure you would not want to do the same thing again. And that's like just, nope. you know, in your living room or whatever. This is like Jeff, like, you know, his whole life is just going out there and literally living in Fiji. Like I could see why he's trying new things. And I wonder if a lot of it's like all press is good press. Like we know there's a 95% chance everyone's going to hate this horrible twist. But like, at least they'll be talking about us.
People are
41.
Talking about it. They're talking about it. So I guess we did something right. Yeah, I could see him standing behind that. And by the way, if you don't like something, go ahead and tweet at him. He doesn't read that stuff anyway. I'm disappointed how much he stopped talking to me after that first episode.
Yeah. Well, we had a big one last week that I meant to ask you about. Do you like the breaking of the fourth wall?
Yeah, I
drop the four. Keep the one. Just keep the one wall. Maybe
I do. I do. Cause I just think it's funny. Like it's so corny and I just get a kick out of it. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't take away from anything from the show for me.
Yeah.
And just the idea that he's like, yeah, doing this kind of Blue's Clues style, like just mm-hmm. straight down the barrel of the camera going like, okay, first tribal, let's do this thing. And I'm like, all right, Jeff, I'm in. Jeff, I'm here. What do you
mean?
I
was going to turn it off, but all right, you talked me into it. I'll stay.
Jeff needs me.
I was going to give him a drink.
Nope. That snack's gonna have to wait.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You will hold it. We are not pausing this. Mm-hmm. I do like that. I get a kick out of that. And then I do also on Instagram when he'll say like, you can play at home.
Yeah.
What do you think about this scenario?
Yeah.
And then he'll just be like, so you've got an advantage. Do you tell people you have it? It's like, And then I'll think something like, I'll go like, I guess I would. And then I'll read, there's like 95 comments. They're like, only an idiot would tell anyone about their, then you watch the show. They immediately tell everyone about the event.
Sean, some of those scenarios that he describes are like, we get like super complicated. It's like, all right, here's the thing. All right. You go to an island, you get a clue, you get a clue to an advantage. You get the advantage. Do you tell people? Or when you go back to the camp, do you hide the clue to the advantage? Where do you hide it? If you did hide it, why did you hide it? Like, I want to know what you have to say. And people like, all right, I guess I got my homework.
Hang on. Yeah, I'm drawing a chart. Can I ask you, both of you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Would you have opened the Beware Advantage?
I think it probably would depend on like, if I was in a dire situation, I think it's like, all right, case of emergency, break glass, I would do it. But I probably, if things were going well, I probably wouldn't have touched it.
Yeah.
It also puts a big, you know, every advantage, I think, makes people think. It's been a little bit less like this in the last few years, but it used to be like, whoever finds the first idol is like, has a 60% chance of finding like the second or the third one also. Mm-hmm. I do think it's still early and puts an advantage like, oh, that's the guy who has an idol. So even if it helps you that round or an advantage, it's like, you know, there's still someone who becomes a big threat at 10 and 9 and 8.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you have opened it, Sean?
I feel like I would have, but then, you know, I had a friend who watches the show, you know, and is a big Survivor fan. It was just like, I would never touch that. I would not open it immediately. And then I was like, when I saw what it was and that you lose your vote and like everybody knows what's going on for you, I was like, God, that's so harsh. Like it would be a mistake to open it. And I ended up feeling like, wow, this other guy I know is a better player than me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't see him out there.
Yeah. I would hate for us to end up on the same season. I actually have to call Cochran right now and kind of say, like, I have another demand. So it's like, so just tell Jeff, like, let's get this all out in the open with Jeff.
Yeah. Normal idols, no stealing, food. Sean, is there anything else, any other Survivor takes or Akiva takes or anything you want to share with us? Anything you want to plug?
I'll just, yeah. I mean, you were so kind. You've talked about my podcast far more, I think, than your audience will.
No, well, you were so kind when, with the introduction that you gave me on Handbook.
Well, people should listen to your episode where we pitched you ideas for reality shows and mm-hmm. then they can decide you know, whether they, want to check it out or not. And, thanks for having me on. And then, yeah, in terms of plugs, I don't know. As you said, I'm writing for season 2 of Kevin Can F Himself on AMC. That'll be filming next year, come out sometime, mm-hmm. maybe next fall, I guess. And people can tune into that or
AMC. That I know people are pumped up. I see a lot of guys on Twitter all saying like, we're ape for AMC. So it sounds like you guys are doing incredible work over there.
Our Patreon, I will say, is called The Flagrant Ones. That's the name of our mm-hmm. basketball podcast that we do. So if you want to check out any of the Handbook or Hollywood Masterclass or any of those shows, you can go to The Flagrant Ones Patreon. Please don't confuse it with The Flagrant 2, a much more popular Patreon we were not aware of, hosted by like extremely conservative, like right-wing comedians. Just if we could start all over with a different name, I guess we can, but it feels like we have enough people in there that we don't want to
drop the flagrant and keep the ones. Yeah.
Yeah. That's yes. Just the ones could be good. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Check out that please. And, and maybe go to read more of my funny tweets Akiva was bringing mm-hmm. up. That'll be Sean Clements. Yeah. You can find me there. You called me Clements the other day.
You know what? I struggle with it. I meant to ask you. Is it Clemens like more like Roger Clemens as opposed to James Clement, who is a Survivor?
So my whole childhood, you know, my father and his father, they said Clements. We always said Clements.
Yeah.
And then we went to my family reunion in Canada one year. There's a whole faction of the family that said Clements.
Yeah.
So I really can't fault you for reading it that way. Mm-hmm. And I may say my own name wrong, but at this point I've just got to put my head down and shoulder through it.
Yeah.
So, not like James.
Okay. I mean, legendary survivor though.
God, I mean, to be associated with him at all would mm-hmm. be very positive for me, except when he went home with two idols in his pocket.
Yeah, you would never do that.
No.
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 I wouldn't have them in my pocket. I'd be too afraid of them getting stolen. It's hot potato with the idols now. I'm holding it. I just don't want to get pointed at.
Yeah. Akiva, any other great tweets from Sean over the years?
You know, had I known, we could have done. Sometimes we'll like some go through someone's hits. Twitter history.
I mean, the first one that you read had Rob rolling, and I don't know if you're going to edit out any of the laughter, Rob, but he was losing it just for time. He was losing it when you read the one about my wife not being my biggest fan. So it'd be tough to top. I don't want to put you on relatable. The spot like that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. No, I don't know. You're also not like a You're not super online. Mm-hmm. You're at least like tweeting. You don't tweet that much. So.
It's true. It's rare. I gotta really work myself up into a lather to get in there and hunker down with my 26 best friends and clack out one of those bad boys.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm. yeah,
for now. Yeah. I'll probably stay in real life.
Yeah.
With my family, friends, and the Rob Has a Podcast.
Thank you.
Community.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Akiva, did you have anything that you wanted to plug?
By the way, I really liked Kevin Kniff himself. The show Sean said he writes for, but was also on, which I didn't realize he was on.
I was in a couple episodes. Yeah, thanks. I really appreciate it.
It was really great. I really recommend it. It's a very unique concept. It's very original. Rob, you watched some of it, right?
I cannot lie to Sean. I haven't seen much of it yet.
It's great. I think you'll really like it, Rob. Well, maybe after the Survivor season. It's a good binge. Yeah. It's very good.
I mean, in fairness to me, I did have to watch 39 seasons of Survivor.
It's true. It's true. Well, which one? Oh, right. You skipped one. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did one of those. That was a lot of work. So I don't envy you.
Mm-hmm.
I did it and I didn't even have a podcast. when you do get around to it, Rob, and no pressure.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and drop me an email. What you think, if you have any notes on my performance, because I'm always trying to hone my craft.
Yeah.
And,
you're acting, not your writing.
My acting, the writing is pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Sean, thank you for spending so much time with us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And of course, Akiva, thank you for stopping by.
Yeah. Thank you for inviting me. This was a very
good
fun
to meet you, Akiva.
Me, yeah, absolutely.
Way to overcome your fears.
Honestly, the truth is
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. The last time I didn't come on, the real backstory was Rob told me that day that like, hey, can you come on? And I was like, all right. And then I realized it would be at like 4 in the morning my time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 6 hours ahead of Rob or 7 hours ahead of Rob. So it was, I was like, all right, I want to meet Sean, but not like 4 in the morning meet Sean.
What he told me was that you were too scared, that basically what he said was you're shy and you're an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to celebrate that. Whichever version is the truth, what Rob said or the thing you just came up with to save face, either way.
I mean, can it be both awesome. Things?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it can. And, I just want to say it was great to meet you and thank you for supporting the show. And I'm just so proud of you.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Thanks again to Sean and even Akiva for stopping by. This interview on Rob Has a Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it could be hard work, but you know it's easy. Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote. See how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. A quick word to the people that are still listening to the podcast. Boy, are you my favorite listeners or what? Not only did you listen to the whole interview that we did, all the way through the after the mid-roll ad, all the way through with Akiva, and you stuck around even through the Geico ad after the interview. So just want to say how much I appreciate you. You're the best, that you are incredibly awesome, and I don't deserve to have you as a listener. I hope you will be around this Tuesday night when we get to play the biggest ever online Survivor Trivia event, when we play Kahoot Survivor Trivia with Jordan Kalish live. robiswebsite.com/patron at 8 p.m. Eastern. It is going to be very fun, interactive. We'll be on a Zoom call with everybody who's playing along. You don't have to be on camera unless you are the best Survivor Trivia player in all of Rob is a Podcast Patreon. And if that's the case, you will take me on head-to-head live this Tuesday night for a big Survivor Trivia event. So hope you can check it out. That's all going to be at robswebsite.com/patron. Thank you so much again for listening to this podcast. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see what you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.